A legal team at a major corporation once celebrated their resilience by bragging about who could survive the longest on minimal sleep. Their badge of honor? Working through weekends, answering emails at 3 a.m., and never taking vacation days. They called it toughness. What they didn't realize was that they were confusing endurance with resilience and slowly destroying their capacity to adapt, innovate, and ultimately perform. This confusion isn't unique to them, it's epidemic. Here's the uncomfortable truth. 44% of workers globally report feeling burned out, yet most workplace wellness programs still treat resilience as an individual problem requiring individual solutions. Meditation apps, gym memberships, and mindfulness workshops proliferate while organizational structures remain unchanged. But resilience isn't about how much pressure you can withstand before breaking. It's about how fluidly you can adapt when circumstances shift. And that adaptation requires more than personal grit. It demands what researchers now call resilience, collective strength, built into the fabric of organizational culture itself. Think about that colleague who seems invincible, the one who thrives on 4 hours of sleep, never appears stressed, and handles impossible workloads with apparent ease. We often attribute this to natural toughness, some innate quality the rest of us lack. But dig deeper, and you'll typically discover something else entirely. Specific practices they've adopted, often unconsciously, that create genuine resilience. During one company town hall, a leader who claimed to be just naturally tough was pressed to explain his routine. Reluctantly, he admitted to practicing deep breathing exercises, protecting family dinner time religiously, and maintaining a weekly exercise schedule. These weren't random habits, they were textbook resilience behaviors. He simply didn't recognize them as such because they'd become second nature. This reveals our first dangerous myth, that resilience is fixed, something you either have or don't. While genetics influence about 30% of our resilience capacity, lifestyle choices and learned behaviors account for 40%, a significantly larger portion. Resilience isn't a personality trait. It's a set of learnable skills that can be systematically developed regardless of your starting point. The second myth is equally destructive, that resilience means enduring stress indefinitely without breaking. This misconception stems from resilience's origins in materials science, where it described a material's ability to return to its original form after being stretched. Applied to humans, this morphed into celebrating those who withstand excessive pressure, the hero leaders who power through despite exhaustion. But here's what neurobiology reveals. Chronic stress actually reduces adaptability. As stress becomes prolonged, we become rigid, repeating ineffective behaviors with increasing intensity rather than adapting creatively. True resilience isn't about withstanding pressure, it's about shifting fluidly between different internal states as circumstances require. Our bodies respond to challenge through the sympathetic nervous system, fight or flight, and parasympathetic nervous system, rest and digest. Not all stress is harmful. Optimal stress, called eustress, enhances performance. The relationship follows an inverted U curve. Too little stimulation impairs attention, while too much leads to disorganized behavior and burnout. Our emotional responses map across four states: stressed, high energy, negative, growing, high energy, positive, regenerating, low energy, positive, and letting go, low energy, negative. Resilience isn't staying positive. It's moving fluidly through all four states, like nature's seasons. Data from 2,000 plus participants reveals many workers spend 70-80% of their day stressed, depleting resources, damaging mental health, and narrowing our window of tolerance. Modern workers often cycle between high-stress work and artificial excitement, then crash into zombie mode, preventing healthy time in the growing zone, where genuine learning occurs. Resilience emerges from 12 learnable skills across three domains: physical, movement, sleep, nutrition, breathing; mental, emotional, emotional regulation, attention regulation, positive outlook; social, meaningful connection, compassion, plus interoceptive awareness, relaxation capacity, and connection to purpose. Think of resilience as a battery. Genetics determines its size, but your charge level depends on practicing these skills. Data from 1,200 respondents confirms resilience skills account for 39% of variance in perceived stress, while actual stressor load explains only 18%. The four most powerful skills, positive outlook, emotional regulation, attention regulation, and self-compassion together, explain 33% of resilience variance. However, the most impactful skills vary by profession. Legal professionals benefit most from self-compassion and positive outlook. HR professionals working remotely need social connection, and managers under heavy workloads gain most from attention regulation. Research reveals three distinct resilience profiles. Mindful self-regulators, 26%. Excel at using mindfulness to notice bodily sensations, counter negative self-talk, and maintain focus. They're three times more likely to practice yoga or meditation and demonstrate superior job performance with lower chronic stress. Healthy habits practitioners, 24%, maintain consistent physical routines regardless of circumstances. Unlike most who abandon healthy practices during stress, they intensify exercise, nutrition, and sleep when pressure increases. They're 2.7 times more likely to have regular bedtime routines, with 81% reporting feeling physically fit versus 22% of others. Social integration competency, 46%, involves strong workplace connections, feeling appreciated, and actively supporting colleagues. These individuals are 2.8 times less likely to remain down after stressful situations and three times more likely to help others at work. About one-third display only one competency, 17% score high in two, and 10% are super resilient across all three. The largest group, 41%, shows no strong competencies, scoring 10% lower on performance and experiencing chronic stress three times more often. Each organization is only as resilient as their most struggling employees. Our brains contain over 86 billion neurons, yet most processing happens unconsciously. Modern life has disconnected our thinking brain from our feeling brain, with people averaging 4 hours daily on smartphones, making mind-body integration increasingly difficult. Mindfulness has shifted from fringe practice to mainstream acceptance, with research publications exploding from under 200 annually to over 3,000 today. A comprehensive UK review found yoga, mindfulness, and meditation most effective in reducing job stress and improving mental well-being, outperforming leadership training and other interventions. Mindfulness operates on three levels: behaviorally, noticing automatic responses, psychologically, observing thinking patterns, and physiologically, regulating internal systems. This third dimension represents physiological intelligence, not just awareness of bodily functions, but active regulation. Through mindfulness, we can consciously regulate our nervous system via breath, shifting between stress and recovery states as needed. Despite its effectiveness, many companies implement mindfulness superficially, offering token sessions while maintaining unsustainable work demands. Research shows mindfulness offers unique leadership benefits, stress reduction, enhanced emotional regulation for better decision-making, increased self-awareness of strengths and biases, and potentially preventing toxic leadership behaviors. Walk into any meeting and you'll immediately sense the team culture. Some teams show disconnection. People stare at devices, avoid conversation, leave quickly. Others engage warmly, establishing human connection. These different cultures directly impact both performance and well-being. Research shows team success depends less on who's in the team and more on how members interact. Google's Project Aristotle found the best teams respect emotions and ensure equal contribution. MIT research revealed collective intelligence correlates with equal conversational turn-taking and social-emotional intelligence rather than individual member intelligence. Teams need both habits of effectiveness, managing goals, and habits of interaction, connecting authentically. Strong effectiveness but poor interaction creates stress. Good interaction but poor effectiveness is pleasant but unproductive. Teams with more than three resilience habits had 30% lower stress and were three times more likely to score high on innovation. Teams regularly practicing positivity were 18 times more likely to score above average in effectiveness and innovation, while those processing emotions effectively were five times less likely to experience burnout. leaders profoundly shape organizational resilience, yet many struggle to translate understanding into action. Research shows leadership style explains 46% of variation in unit satisfaction and correlates strongly with employee burnout. Paradoxically, leaders experience significantly less stress than their teams. Only 37% report elevated stress versus 46% of non-management staff. This gap stems from leaders having greater schedule control and often being selected for resilience capacity. The pandemic amplified this divide. 61% of leaders felt it improved their work-life balance versus just 25% of other employees. Many leaders unconsciously developed resilience habits through sports or maintaining positivity. Because these skills became second nature, they fail to recognize them as learnable competencies requiring deliberate cultivation. During crises, leaders often abandon resilience practices to focus exclusively on output, falsely believing care and performance conflict. When working with engineers addressing an automotive scandal, executives initially dismissed resilience support despite crushing pressure. Only after implementing mindfulness practices did they recognize that prioritizing care paradoxically improved performance. For resilience to take root organization-wide, leaders must live it personally, provide compelling purpose, actively support employees, and establish resilience-building practices throughout the organization. Personal resilience has limits in toxic environments. Beyond three major workplace stressors, the Goldilocks zone, individual skills falter, and organizational intervention becomes essential. An effective 8-step methodology includes working with appropriate group sizes, 150, 1,000 people, 30% participation, securing management buy-in through data, conducting individual resilience screening, analyzing staff-wide data, selecting 3 to 4 shared priorities with management, building skills through workshops and practice sprints, developing business-wide capabilities, and measuring outcomes rigorously. Results are remarkable. 35% reductions in perceived stress, with high-stress individuals dropping from 45% to 15%. Resilience improves over 25%, flourishing increases 30%, and productivity rises 3 or 8%. Organizations develop shared resilience language uniting management, HR, and staff. In a world selling productivity in pills and mindfulness and apps, we've forgotten a fundamental truth. Resilience isn't a solo sport. Many employees are already too stressed to self-regulate effectively. Resilience is both personal and organizational responsibility. A shared endeavor requiring collective commitment over years, measured against targets as important as financial KPIs. The journey from I-resilience to we-silience represents a fundamental reimagining of 21st century work, recognizing our interconnected nature and building structures supporting challenge and recovery, performance and care, individual growth and collective strength. The question isn't whether your organization can afford to invest in resilience, it's whether you can afford not to.